You're listening to sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. For more information about Liberty or to donate to this ministry, you can visit us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
Deuteronomy in chapter number 7, I want to look at verse number 17. Deuteronomy chapter number 7 and verse number 17. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? And verse number 18, and thou shalt not be, what's the word? Afraid of them. But thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall thy Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art, what's the word? Afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornets among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. And verse 21, thou shalt not be, what? Affrighted at them. For the Lord thy God is among you a mighty God and terrible. Let's pray. Father, this evening, thank you for this church, Liberty Baptist Church. Thank you for their faithfulness, for their willingness to give of themselves to you and to others. And Father, I pray that you would help me to have clarity of thought and that you would help me to communicate effectively, that your Spirit may work in our lives. As we look at this area of fear, Father, help us. Thank you for the time that we've had together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Israel. 38 years they've been wandering in the wilderness. 38 years. But prior to their wilderness wanderings, they were at the same place where their grandchildren are standing now. Their children are standing. Same opportunity. But it was at that point where, you remember, we sing it in Sunday school, 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report and saying, man, we can do it. God is with us. Look at the land and look at the fruits and look what we're able to be able to do. But it wasn't so. The 10 came back and, man, we can't do that. We're just like grasshoppers. Who are we? We're so few. Who are we? We're so small. Who are we? And the Bible says that they made the people's hearts afraid and discouraged the people. They discouraged the people. Man. Well, they didn't enter into the promised land as God had promised them to them. They wandered around in 38 years. Grandfather passes away. Grandmother passes away. 38 years. And now they come to this same place where God says, the land is yours. He instructs Moses and encourages and talks to Moses and tells him, tell the people and instruct the people on how they're to enter in and remind the people. And in verse number 17, Moses, in instructing the people, he makes a statement. If thou shalt say in thine heart. See, that's not the only place in Deuteronomy where that statement is made. For in chapter number 8, guard your heart from being self-righteous. Watch out. And then in chapter number 9, it talks about the heart and guard your heart from being self-righteous. And chapter number 15, it talks about guard your heart from being selfish. And chapter 29, it talks about guard your heart from sin. There's attitudes of the heart that we need to be very careful of. Because what's in the heart are the issues of life. For the mouth speaketh from the heart. We may not say it. We may not verbalize it and communicate it. But we need to guard our heart. I was looking at your brochure, beautifully done. Great vision. Excited about what God is going to do at Liberty Baptist Church. Man, when I first came to Liberty, this wasn't even a thought. In the mind of God, it was. You guys were meeting on another piece of property. And then God worked a miracle and was able to get this property and these are the buildings. But now I come back and you have the gymnasium and you have the educational building. And look at what God is doing. Man, that is wonderful. And all I can say is, God, this is the hand of God. This is the working of God. And God wants to do more. And in the mission conference coming up, I sincerely believe God wants to do more and do something great that you could look back and say, wow, this is God. But just as Israel, we need to be very careful of our heart. We may not verbalize it. Oh man, pastor's dreams and his goals and his visions, there's no way we could do that. We may not say that, but in our heart, what are we thinking? Because it will reflect in our actions and attitude, the heart. I want to just encourage you to look at this. If thou shalt say in thine heart. And in reference to talking about being afraid. Don't say in your heart. Don't let fear dictate your decisions in serving God. Don't let fear dictate your decision in what you'll do for missions or what you'll do for the building or what you'll do in ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. Fear. 38 years in wilderness and now they come to this exciting time of going into the promised land. And here Moses reminds them, don't say in your heart. Don't let fear keep you where your fathers were kept and not enter in. Amen. Go forward. Go forward. Do. Trust God. Be what God wants you to be. I did a little study, and I don't know. It was a Google thing and went online, and there's over 7,000 fears recorded. Number one was the fear of spiders. Verda was, we travel from Wow to Lay to get our supplies. It's a 4.5-hour drive. It's 102 miles. Not that far. But a lot of it over rivers and crossing streams and four-wheeling. But so we leave early in the morning before the sun comes up. And we're just sitting there, and we're driving down the road. The kids are in the back, and all of a sudden, she feels something crawling up her leg. And she puts out a yell and says, "Stop the car!" Look at her. Why? What is going on? Stopped the car, turned on the light in the car. She flung open the door, and on her lap was this brown recluse. The body was as big as the palm of my hand. It was a humongous thing. She flung it out the door, closed the door, and for the next 3 hours we heard why it is important to roll up the windows in the car. Man, afraid of spiders. I don't want to embarrass anybody tonight, but somebody said, "Man, I could never go over there with those bugs." Well, one thing about bugs, they're pretty much nocturnal. We're inside, they're outside, no worries. There's snakes there, one of the most deadly snakes. The mamba, the black python, or not black python, black mamba, yeah. And then we have humongous snakes. But you know what? That doesn't matter. But people are afraid of those. Those are fears. Those are real fears. Spiders, snakes, heights, spaces people are afraid of, public speaking. Number 98 on the list was zombies. I have no idea why people would be afraid of zombies unless they're watching something that they shouldn't be watching anyway. But listen, fears. Fears. But what is sad, and I know this in New Guinea, if you have your Bibles, hold your finger in Deuteronomy, go to Revelation 21. Many of you can quote it, but I want to read it. Revelation 21 and verse number 8. In this list, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Now, in my mind, I would have put the unbelieving go first. But it says, those who are fearful. It talks about, but the fearful is ahead of the list. And knowing from the experiences in Papua New Guinea, I understand why that goes first. For you see, in Papua New Guinea, sometimes our people come to church and then they go home, and the witch doctor will tell them, "You go back to that church, your baby's going to die, you're going to get sick, your garden's not going to grow." And so fear keeps him from doing what they know they ought to do, from believing in Jesus. Even religion, Western religion, the bishop or priest or the leader of the congregation, if one of the members, and they have come to our church and they have gotten saved, and they'll say, "This baptismal certificate, if you go and you go to that church, I'm going to tear this baptismal certificate up, and when we put you in the casket, God's not going to see it, and you're not going to go to heaven." fear. Fear of things, what people may say, not necessarily the truth, but fear at what people may do, fear of families. We have a young man that graduated from our Bible Institute. He was 12 years old. He came to church. 12 years old, he came to church, and his parents had passed away, but his father and his uncle and aunt took him in. They heard that he was attending our church, and they said, "If you go to that church again, we will kick you out of the house." He said, "Well, I've got to go, because I believe in Jesus Christ and I cannot deny him." And so he came to church. He went back to his house, what little belongings he had was thrown out on the ground in front of the house. He gathered it up and went home, went to church's members' house, and they sort of adopted him. That young man is back in the same village where his family kicked him out of, and doing a great job. And the church is growing, and souls are being saved, and lives are being changed. But there is a fear that comes that will keep people from coming to the Lord. They hear the truth, but yet, man, if I do that, what will my parents think? What will... And they're more concerned, not with their eternal destiny, but they're more concerned about what people and what their church and what others may think about them. But also, fear limits us in the ministry. Fear limits us in the ministry. Fear causes us to make decisions contrary to God's word. Can you think of somebody in the Bible? How about King Saul? Went to seek a witch because he was afraid. "I don't know what to do." And he sought counsel from where God would forbid. He went and sought that witch. Fear stifles growth and prohibits victory and limits one's quality of life. Think of Israel. Think of the army facing Goliath. 40 days. The giant would come out every day and, "Hey, who's going to fight me?" And yet they would cower down and they would quake in fear, and they weren't stagnant. And then David comes along, a man of faith. One stone and a slingshot, victory was won. Fear. Amen. Fear. But faith will overcome fear. Fear causes one to miss out God-given opportunities, seeing God to do great things, seeing God do impossible things in our lives. Amen. Fear. God wants to do some wonderful things in your life personally. But sometimes we look at it and we hear a message. God begins to work in our lives and we say, "Man, I can't do that. That's not for me." Pastor encourages you to go out and give a tract to somebody and you say, "Nah, let somebody else do that." That's why we have staff, you know. Fear. And we look at our finances and we look at the great need and the opportunity that God gives us to participate in worldwide evangelism or participate in a building fund or participate in... And we say, "Man, not me." And we miss out on God doing the impossible in our lives. How How do we overcome fear? I want to give you a couple things here as we read in Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Number one, the first thing that I want to look at is chapter number 1 and verse number 9. Knowing therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Number one, I want you to understand, God keeps his word. If we are going to overcome, we need to be a people who believe his promises and act on his promises. God is not a covenant breaker. God is not somebody who could lie, who would not lie. He cannot lie. Amen. And we can trust him. We can believe his word. We can take his promises to heart. Remember God and his promises. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, for God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we say then? What shall we say then, say to these things? If God be for us, what's the next word? Who can be against us? Who can be against us? If God wants you to do something, who's going to be against you? Yes, there's going to be opposition, but we are on the winning side. We find that Psalms 56 and verse number 3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen. Trust. Trust. God says, trust in me. I want to do something great in your life, but sometimes we allow the fears and the emotions to control God's will. And we don't move forward. But there's a second thing that I want you to look at. We find in chapter 7 again, and verse number 17, and remember verse number 18. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. Remember, remember. Yes, we need to remember that God is a God who keeps his covenant, but we also need to remember what God has already done in our lives. Is there any doubt? There's no doubt in my mind. Just a stranger coming through and the building that you had been meeting in previously and how God orchestrated this beautiful campus. Remember last year in your life where you were at a low, a difficult time, and how God had brought you out of that? Amen. Remember, God is faithful. And God does give grace, and God does provide, and God does help in a time of need. Remember. You know, one of the problems that we forget. And we begin to worry about today. We begin to worry about tomorrow. I begin to worry about the future when God has already taken care of us from the get-go. And he will continue on. Just remember, the God of the Bible, God wants to do some great things in our lives. Psalms 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We all know of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trusting in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. We come to a point in our lives, maybe it's a different job, an opportunity to venture out and try to get an opportunity of employment. It could be finances, could be church ministry. And God may be working in your life and saying, I want you to be a Sunday school teacher. I want you in the choir. I want you to be a part of the bus ministry. My wife was a bus kid growing up in San Jose. Was saved, and God used her. Listen, you never know. The opportunities of ministry is unlimited. Amen. But we come and say, yeah, I know, but I just don't. Let me share something with you, and we'll close. I grew up on a dairy farm. I was a sort of a backwards kid. Being a dairy farmer, when somebody wanted to shake my hand, I just started pulling their fingers. You know, didn't know what to do. And here, I'm a high school student. I haven't been saved. I grew up in a Christian home, but I didn't accept Christ as my personal Savior until when I was 17 years old. Shortly after that, there was a missions conference in the church, and God began to work in my life about missions, ministry. You have to understand, I'm a very introverted person. And in that high school, we had to have a speech class. I recommend it for every school, but speech was required. I was in the class, I attended classes, I took notes, prepared lessons, but when it was time to give a lesson, I'd skip class. Teacher says, you're going to graduate, and if you don't give a speech, you're not going to graduate. I said, man, I can't do that. I said, let's make a deal. I'll give a speech. And she says, okay. I come up and give a speech. It's supposed to be 5 minutes. It's less than 2 minutes. And my thought was, I'm never going to give another speech, and I'm never going to stand in front of another group of people the rest of my life. God began to work in my life, and I said, no, Lord, there's other people out there who are more gifted and has a greater ability to do what you want them to do. Who am I? I can't even stand before people. You're making a mistake, literally. I went and told my pastor, because this was a turmoil going on in my life, and I went to the pastor and I says, Pastor, I believe God wants me in ministry. And he looked at me and he says, it's just a feeling, it'll go away. You won't make it in the ministry. I left there and I said, yes. But God had different plans. And I was troubled and I said, man, Lord, you've got to be desperate. I really thought that. Isn't there somebody else who is more talented and more gifted in communicating your word to people? I was scared to death. It was on a Sunday night, after the preaching of the word, after the preacher preached, talking about surrender. I went forward and said, Lord, I'm not much, but if you'll use me, I'll do my best. Well, 28 years in Papua New Guinea. 7 churches, Bible school, men serving the Lord. I ain't much, but I'm so glad. I am so glad that I said yes. Yeah. Come on. And I'm so glad that you have participated in helping me on this journey? God wants to do some wonderful and great things. Amen. Let's not come to that point where, like Israel, don't say in your heart. Don't say in your heart. Because your heart will dictate your actions. And when the offering plate comes around, you won't give. And when it comes time to write out a commitment, you'll put it aside. Because fear. Well, how am I'm just barely making it now. God is able. Amen. Cling to His promises. And let God do something greater in your life than you'd ever expect.
Thanks for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more helpful Bible teaching, or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.